to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, a show about... Wait, repartee? Is that a word? Is that what I was supposed to say? The heck is repartee?
It's lively banter among smart people.
All right, you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Whatever. Hosted by Doug Paget, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
Well, welcome to the Repartee. It's a Monday afternoon, and the Monday after the Blue State Ball. I know that Matt was talking a bit about the Blue State Ball, but I just want to put, Brett, my own word out to all the friends of the Blue State Ball that showed up and said hello. It was my first Blue State Ball, my first chance to meet in person some of the listeners. And I got to tell you, Brett, I kind of mentioned this at the event. Those listeners don't look like what I thought they were going to look like.
Oh, no. I wonder how many people picture you're like 5'5".
Totally.
And then they see you.
Totally. Yeah. I know they're all thinking, wow, you don't look like what I thought your voice was like. And I'm like, well, you don't look like the imaginary audience that I imagined. I didn't know you were as attractive as you were to that Blue State Ball audience. I didn't know they were as stylish. It was just a really classy group. And I was super glad to be at the Blue State Ball. Are you fully recovered? Do you feel like you've got your sea legs back under you?
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah. I know some of our other staff members here at the station are definitely still trying to get recovered since they put a lot more work into it than us producers do, like Hunter, me, and Eric and Sam.
Yeah, and certainly more than the what's sort of casually referred to as the on-air talent.
Yeah. Chad and Jane just put a ton of work into that, and yeah, they need the rest and relaxation right now.
And I'll tell you what, I had a bit of an old man moment. I had to leave about the time that the dancing started. Did you stay all the way through the dancing at the Blue State Ball?
You missed dancing with Gary out there. Man, his moves were incredible. He was jumping around. He was,
You wouldn't
picture him being able to, but he's got moves. And the ladies love him, too.
Well, I'm just going to say it here on air, as we said it at the Blue State Ball. Gary, thank you for the piece of Gary from Minneapolis artwork. It's I promise I'm going to keep it, until you're a famous artist. And so it was really a great time. Hey, you know what else is happening in great Minnesota fame? And we were just talking about this off air. A Kiss is in concert tonight here in St. Paul. Yeah, Kiss. I actually didn't know they were still tour. I just want to imagine that our AM 950 listeners are also the Kiss base. So at least for today, I'm imagining that all the people listening are driving down to St. Paul because they want to get in line early to get in on the main floor. And the Kiss is at the end of the road tour. And I heard a little quote from Gene Simmons, who turns out is 68. I heard this in the report today. Gene Simmons, 68 years old. He said, look, Kiss would tour for another 20 years, which I think is a little generous, him being 68. He said, if all we had to wear was jeans and tennis shoes, which I think is his slap at the other concert legends. He said, but no, we have to wear platform shoes. We have to wear makeup and we carry around pyrotechnics on our backs. He said, that's just a lot of work for a 68-year-old, which, fair enough, Gene Simmons. That's a lot of work for a 68-year-old. But it did make me think, I don't know, maybe you should go to a Kiss concert tonight. If it's truly the end of the road tour, and this is it, to see 68-year-old men in makeup and platform shoes with pyrotechnics on their back.
Do you think a Kiss concert would have the same vibe if they didn't dress up? That would be an odd concert, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, now that you say that, and I bet we could ask the listeners that they would give us a call about this if they've been to a Kiss concert. I think there was a brief period where they toured without their makeup. I have a vague memory that there was a time when they tried to sort of like drop the makeup and just be a band without the theatrics. And I'm looking at their website right now at kissonline.com, and it's everything I can do to not just drive to St. Paul tonight and pick up some tickets for the Kiss concert. Hey, speaking of popular news. You know, this is, I guess this could be our Monday popular news segment. You know, we don't really have one of those, do we? We don't really have a variety page when it comes to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
No, maybe there's not in today's. There's a lot of news with that too. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe we should. Maybe we should move to that. Something, you know, that feels very a pop culture, because you know nothing says pop culture like you know, AM political talk radio. But Beverly Hills 90210 star Luke Perry died apparently today. And as I've heard it, had a stroke. He's 52. I'm 52. These two things coming together, I have never seen Kiss. Luke Perry dies at age 52 from a stroke. A sad moment and an opportunity have sort of met themselves. I don't know, maybe this is where a guy just says, look, you just keep no prisoners, and you make your way down to see Kiss in concert. So I'd be interested in anybody, give us a call if you know any Kiss trivia on the day when they're in town. Like maybe you've been to a Kiss concert. And again, just seeing the people that we saw on Saturday night at the Blue State Ball, I think there's some Kiss fans in the listeners' audience. And maybe you've never called. Maybe this hasn't been your thing. Maybe you don't have the phone number 952-946-6205 in your speed dial. But you could put it in there, 952-946-6205, and tell us if you have any Kiss music. Or I guess if you have a heartthrob moment around Beverly Hills 90210 star Luke Perry, who my friend Dave, who's sitting in the room here with me, told me that he was also most recently in a show called Riverdale. So maybe you're like, oh, I didn't know the Riverdale guy, Rick Perry, was in a 1990s teen heartthrob show. And you know, hey Brett, you know what else I didn't know? Did you ever watch 90210?
I remember it being really big, but I was still kind of a kid at that point, so I don't think my parents would have let me watch it.
Oh, really?
Back in the early days. I was only like 5 or 6 years old, so yeah.
Yeah, probably a good point. I felt a little too old. You felt a little too young. Somewhere between us, there's somebody who watched that. I didn't know that the name of the show, Beverly Hills 90210, had a comma. Now this
Wait,
is just
what?
A little a comma in the title of the show. It's Beverly Hills, comma 90210. Like you're writing out a street address, apparently.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. This is just a point of trivia. It could be the only television show that's title had a comma, had proper punctuation. I didn't even know it was actually called Beverly Hills, comma 90210. I didn't even know it was Beverly Hills. I just thought it was 90210. But no, maybe I did know it was Beverly Hills.
There's no CA in there, because that would make it totally correct. That wouldn't have a good ring to it, though.
Hey, good point. Good point. Yeah, what are they doing with the comma if they're not going to put the CA in there anyway? Anyway, so if you have a 90210 reflection or a Kiss concert bit, I'd love to hear about it today. Or a Blue State Ball memory. So if any of those things are flowing with you, 952-946-6205. And then lots of important things happening on the political front in the state of Minnesota. You know, I don't know if you saw this article that, Brett, that Governor Walz is pushing hard for a 100% renewables energy in the state of Minnesota by 2050. Of course, Xcel Energy and others are pushing back with all kinds of, you know, threats of how the world's going to be horrible if we move to renewable energy. But I just think this really has to happen. I'm a big believer in doing what we can as human beings to try to stop the flow or the increase in global warming. I heard a statistic the other day on global warming, and I got to tell you, I've been fully committed to, like, human beings have created the conditions by which the planet is warming. I've just believed that. I've said it, but in a lot of ways, it hasn't been because of the science, right? It's been just sort of because it's just part of the progressives' commitment, right? Like, I've just believed the people who have said human beings are causing warming to the planet, and that warming is causing climate effect. climate change. Warming of the planet is causing the flow of the air and the flow of moisture around the planet to be different than it otherwise was. I've just sort of believed that because I believe the people who said it. And then the other day I was listening to a podcast. And there was a climate scientist, somebody who, she didn't study climate. You know what she studied? She'd be a great Friday guest for us. She was an astrophysicist, but she's at the University of New York, and she is one of the leading experts on climate change. And the interviewer asked her, said, how much of current climate or current temperature increase on the planet that has clearly happened, there's no doubt that the planet has increased in its overall temperature in the last 50 years. How much of that in the last 50 years is caused by human activity versus natural effects that we have seen on the planet over time, like when we had an ice age and then we don't have an ice age? So the question was, how much of it, what percentage has been caused by human activity? And Brett, do you know what her answer was?
I do not, but I imagine it's terrifying.
Thank you. That's a great fill, because that was a bit of a rhetorical question just to set up the drama for the answer, which is, she said, more than 100%. More than 100%. And she said this. She said, look, the planet goes through natural cooling and heating patterns. That's caused by the wobble of the Earth in its rotation around the sun. Both because of the spin of the Earth and its rotation around the sun, in like 10,000 year movements, there's a particular wobble. The thing is, in the last 50 years, we've been in a wobble that should have been causing the Earth to cool. And instead, the Earth has been increasing. So not only has human contribution to the warming of the planet caused the increase of the temperature on the planet, but it's overcome the natural flow of heating and cooling of the planet that's caused by the rotation of the Earth around the sun. So it's more than 100%. It had to make up for the wobble and then still heat the planet. Now, that seems like a piece of information that needs to be out there. So whatever we can do, and if Governor Walz wants to push hard to make sure that in the state of Minnesota, our own contributions don't add to the carbon increase, which is clearly causing global warming, that seems like something that's important. So if you want to talk about that, we'll take your calls here after the break, 952-946-6205 on Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
Hi, Minnesota. It's Tom Hartman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Matt, owner of Green Home Doctors. People often invest money in their homes for things they can see, but the most important improvement they can make is what they can't see. Insulation. If you have icicles or ice dams on your roof or moisture problems on your windows or ceilings during the winter, your home is not insulated properly. Take advantage of the rebates and incentives from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy before it's too late. To learn more about the savings, visit greenhomedr.com.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for 25 years. You'll not find someone who loves their job more than me. The process of painting your home could not be easier. Go to nickslavik.com, click on the button Paint My Walls or Paint My Cabinets. I'll personally be in contact with you to get an estimate, either in-home or a free virtual estimate. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. We're not like other contractors.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP. And mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, do I have to say this next line?
Do you want to sleep inside tonight?
My dad is beloved, world-famous radio broadcaster Matt McNeil.
Perfect!
Anyway, my mom and dad want me safe when I'm driving in winter weather. That's why the vehicle they trust is the Toyota Sienna, and the dealership they trust is Rudy Luther Toyota. They keep me safe.
With my son driving this winter, I trust Rudy Luther, and you can too. Stop in today and become a Rudy Luther Toyota family. The southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
I'll tell you, Brett, you're not helping my my desire to overcome this impulse to go down and see Kiss tonight. By that, you're like the friend that pushes French fries in front of your friend that's on a diet. Mm-hmm. You're just adding to the adding to the fun. Hey, if anybody's going down the concert tonight, you should give us a call and let us know, because you know, it'd be really fun to know if you're making your way down there. Hey, Brett, do you think at all about this? What do you have any thoughts on Walz's push for 100% renewables by 2050 and trying to put some mandates on Xcel Energy and others to provide only power that comes from renewables? That could be water, that could be wind, that could be solar. You know, to Wall's argument, he's trying to say, look, you have 20 years, 30 years to figure out which of the renewables you're going to be in on. You don't have to keep using coal and natural gas. You can do renewables. Do you have any thoughts on that, or have you followed anything in the legislature about where that's going to be?
Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised by his environmental record so far as governor, since he had a reputation coming into the governorship as being a very moderate member of Congress, where he not only has set this very lofty and I think very manageable and great goal of going 100%, not 80% or 70%, no, but 100% by 2050. And then in addition to his fight of his decision to keep up that fight for preventing Line 3. Overall, I've been very pleasantly surprised by his environmental record. My expectations, to be honest, were not that high in terms of the environment when he was elected governor, but he's definitely surprised me.
Yeah, I think that way too. It feels a bit like the old adage that, you know, only Nixon could open China, right? That Nixon was so anti-China for so long that when he said, we're going to normalize relations with China, people are like, well, okay, you know, he's got his bona fides. He's not just one of those, you know, China sympathizers. Or in a more disastrous storyline, it was Bill Clinton who could call for the end of welfare as we knew it, because he was seen in the political sense as a liberal, as a Democrat. And so if a Democrat moved against social or against welfare and say the age of big government is over, that would somehow pass. Now, I think that was a real mistake, but Clinton was able to make that happen because he had a reputation. Maybe Walz is the same way, right? Like, he recognized that a pedigree and a voting record that he had was that people weren't saying, weren't thinking of him as sort of the environmental governor. They weren't thinking of him, you know, like the state of Washington, Governor Isley, who's running for president, by the way. And he just announced over the weekend, and he's trying to make global warming his primary campaign focus, that Walz was not seen as one of those guys. And maybe that left him a little bit more room to sort of work and to push this agenda. I think that's it's a really interesting argument.
I kind of do too, and I was saying this the day after he was elected. I think he's a sleeper candidate for vice president in 2020. Maybe that's why he's kind of making this push very subtly to be kind of more of an environmental governor, because he would be an ideal choice as a VP. from a purple state.
How did I miss it? Well, it's because I was in a total stupor after the after the election, because I did that whole Vote Common Good national tour thing. So I was a little out of it. I didn't know that you had suggested that Governor Walz.
It wasn't with you on there, but if you look at it, yeah, a rural congressman from a northern Midwestern state and a governor. That's a very attractive resume for a VP.
Yeah, boy, wouldn't that be? Do you think there's any chance that Senator Klobuchar, if she were to be the nominee, would just double down on Minnesota and just be like, look, we're taking the Minnesota thing straight to Washington?
Wow, that would be interesting. I would probably doubt it. I would only imagine it would happen if someone more on the left, like Warren or Sanders, got the nomination. Yeah. Then they'd probably go with Walz to balance it out. But
yeah, I was
the
all-Minnesota
ticket, that'd be fun, though, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? It'd be like the blue state ball. It would be nothing but fun. I bet that it's going to turn out more the other way, where if Senator Klobuchar is not the chosen nominee, that, and I don't think she will be, that her and Walz, according to your sort of imagination, they might be competing or be competing candidates for a vice president pick. Wouldn't that be interesting if it was sort of between those two, to get that kind of Midwestern get the job done sensibility kind of candidate, you know, sort of the straight talking one that can talk to the rural to the rural voters. That'd be really interesting, because I don't think Walz has any ambition for a presidential run himself either.
Oh, not this cycle,
years or anything. He just doesn't. I don't know. He doesn't really strike me that way. You know, I was mentioning the governor from Washington State. He's running, and he's a very attractive candidate on paper. His positions, he's progressive. You know, he likes to say, if you want to change Washington, make it more like Washington, which is a great little catch line, right? If you want to change Washington, D.C., make it more like Washington State. And he's running on the environment as his primary argument, that the one thing that every president for the next generation has to make as their number one priority is to make sure that the United States participates in leading the world to do something about climate change, whether you believe it's caused by human activity or not. If you choose to believe, you know, something that's obvious, or choose not to believe something that's obvious, that's sort of up to you. But the climate is changing, and therefore we have to mitigate that effect. And he's saying that that's the number one thing, that everything else will be in context of climate change over the next 50 years. It's really a powerful argument. I don't know that he, the governor from Washington, nor that argument really has presidential attractiveness. Like, I don't know that people are going to see that and hear that and say to themselves, oh, that's the kind of candidate that I really want to rally around, right? It doesn't have the kind of populist sort of argument, which I think is why him running, and every candidate running as somebody who's running in the environment, is so important, so that 10 years, 15 years, 20 years from now, people are hearing about candidates running as on the environment as the number one thing. Because we've been talking about the environment as a primary cause of crisis in this country, and something the federal government should respond to, since the establishment of the EPA, which I think was in like 1972 or 1973. It was under the Nixon administration. We saw something as bold as establishing a cabinet-level response to the environment. And then we sort of lost it. I mean, somehow in the midst of all the recycling, all the caring about the environment, all the clean water movements, all the success in the clean air, all the success in the ozone layer being no longer damaged, all of that, somehow, and maybe it all fell on Al Gore's shoulders, I don't know, but somehow it just sort of drifted in the last 15 or 20 years, not from activists and not from social do-gooders and not from people who care about progressive causes, but from the regular populist idea. And it really feels like it's something that needs to be front and center to every candidate, and I think it's important that they all talk about it all the time.
I was gonna say I agree too, because do you know how many times climate change was brought up during the 2016 presidential debates?
Zero
exactly.
Is that true?
It is. They brought it up no times at all. None. Nothing.
That is unbelievable that the number one issue facing the planet doesn't come up in our presidential elections. But you know what I did hear about during that time? Hillary's emails. That was a real big deal back then. Isn't that unbelievable? Nothing about the environment and all day long about the emails. And also about Donald Trump colluding with Russia, which is actually a national crisis in its own right. Give us a call if you want to talk about the environment. 952-946-6205. We'll be back after the break. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance company.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
The infrared sauna at Awaken Living not only helps you get out of the cold, but also improves your health. This is not your typical sauna experience. The far infrared heats your body internally, causing you to sweat profusely over your entire body, yet has no odor. Because the far infrared sauna at Awaken Living doesn't use moisture, you will experience no trouble breathing, which can be typical in traditional saunas. The far infrared sauna at Awaken Living improves circulation, which translates into improved oxygen flow, muscle relaxation to reduce pain, increased healing time, faster muscle recovery time, and decreased inflammation. According to the Mayo Clinic, several studies looked at using far infrared saunas in the treatment of problems such as high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, and rheumatoid arthritis. They found promising results and no adverse side effects. So come to Awaken Living and try their far infrared sauna. It will improve your vitality and help relax your muscles, body, and mind. Schedule an appointment today by calling 952-452-8583 or visiting awakenlivinginfusion.com.
Pros know getting the next job means doing this one right. Lowe's is here to help with brands you need to power through any job. Shop the largest assortment of Bosch power tools, including the new Core 18-volt battery platform and 12-volt powered laser level. Plus, stop in now during Bosch Tool Days and save up to 30% off select Bosch power tools and accessories, including a Bosch 12-volt Max 2-tool combo kit with two batteries for just $129. Whatever it takes to do the job, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 3/13. See store for details, U.S. only.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around zero. Tuesday mostly sunny with a high near 15. Wednesday sunny with a high around 19. And Thursday sunny with a high near 20. It's Greek to Me is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week. They offer delicious Greek cuisine in a sublime space with gracious hospitality. Check out their charming bar and explore wines and specialty drinks from Greece. It's Greek to Me is located at 626 West Lake Street in Minneapolis or at itsgreektomemn.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Fridley, and you're listening to the Rockin' Tower of Power Hour with Doug, with Hunter, and with Brett.
Mark from Fridley. Hey, did you record that at the Blue State Ball?
We did. We meant to get some other ones, but Mark's the only guy we could get. Hunter and I were talking. We wanted to get everybody, and we only got Mark.
I remember us saying that, and somebody had said to me, I think it maybe Pam, said, hey, I heard you guys are going to record the bumpers here for all of us. I was like, yeah, I think Brett and Hunter are going to do that. And then I totally forgot to send her over to you. She was awfully excited about that. Hey, you know who else I met at the Blue State Ball? I met the good folks from Awakened Living Infusion. And, you know, we hear their ads here on the station, at least, and I had never met them before. So it was like, you know, these radio personalities came to life. And I heard that ad there about the infrared sauna. that it you know, helps with your lymph nodes and your sweating. I own an infrared sauna. It is 15 feet from where I'm sitting right now at the home studio here on Peacedale Avenue, and they are fantastic. So I'm just going to give a little bump to the Awaken Living Infusion invitation to go try their spa or their sauna over at their center. You're welcome to come to my house if you can find it, and we'll just come down the basement, turn it on, use it all you like. But you're probably better off going over to the Awaken Living Infusion center. They're fantastic because part of what infrared does, this is going to sound a little bit like a Friday show, but Brett, you might not know this. What infrared does is it heats the item in the sauna rather than heating the air in the sauna. So if you've ever been in a sauna where it's hard to breathe, like if you go into like a regular sauna where there's like a big heat thing and then somebody throws water on it and it steams up, the air gets really hot and it's hard to breathe. In an infrared sauna, the air doesn't get hot as hot. I mean, it gets a little bit hot, but not nearly that hot. But your body does get hot because the infrared rays strike your skin and then heat up the water molecules in your skin. It's a little bit like a microwave, but that'll freak you out. But it's different than that. It's like if you're outside in the cold air, but then you step into the sunlight and you feel the warmth on your face, that's the infrared wave. So even though the air is cool, your face gets warm from the sunlight. That's what infrared does. They're fantastic.
That sounds a lot more healthy and overall a more pleasant experience as well.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I'm not here to do the infrared sauna advertisement for Awakened Living Infusion, but the reason that it works is you can stay in one of those saunas for like 30 or 40 minutes, and that amount of time, because you're not breathing in hot air, you just get this nice long sweat, and that releases your lymph nodes, and that's where all the benefit comes, because you can sweat for a really long time like the Finnish people do. So anyway, hey, also at the Blue State Ball, I met Gary from Minneapolis, and Gary from Minneapolis is on the line. Hello, Gary.
Hi, Doug. You're taller than I thought.
Well, you're more beautiful than I thought, Gary. I should always assume that you're a supermodel. Yeah, and you're a great artist, and I really appreciate the quality.
Well, I wanted to say something. You're talking about climate change. You know, many years ago, I was an activist in environment. The big fight happened in 92 over Prairie Island, the nuclear dump.
Yeah.
And we were trying to get as much wind power as we could in the state. We got a little bit. We basically lost because all the money... You know, I was just somewhat in the union movement, and I went to that labor convention, and the powerful trades, they pushed the nuclear energy through. They had workers out there in Prairie Island. Anyways, we made a big stink about it. But anyways, so they had almost all the money against us. But we did get the beginning of what we have today, so quite a bit of wind power out there in Buffalo Ridge or western Minnesota, so we're better in most states. But what I'm going to say is, Stuart Udall, I read a book about him way back around that era, in the early 90s maybe, and he was John Kennedy's Secretary of Interior, and he warned how urgent it was we stopped burning. All burning causes climate change or global warming. He warned how urgent it is we stop this burning because the future depends on it. I call environment the science of the future. And you know, this overpopulation is a big issue too, the huge numbers of growing people. And I want to also say something. Our political system is much worse than then, even because back when I was young, because Robert Kennedy warned what we have today. He warned, it was millionaires back then. He said, they weren't all millionaires then. And now he said someday he was afraid the Senate, he predicted the Senate would be all millionaires or owned by millionaires, which is billionaires today with all these tax cuts and this shipping the jobs overseas, also the class warfare stuff. Anyway, I said enough.
Gary, but hold on, because I'd love to ask you about this. Do you have... any sense, tell me this, what was it like back in the early 90s in that like anti-nuclear power plant movement? Was it the dangers?
Well, we had a big grassroots movement, and a lot of us went over to the Capitol. I don't remember if I was, I went to the Capitol, I think, when they had the vote, and even the Democrats, what's his name, the really good environment older guy, from up northern, up around south of Duluth. I can't think of his name. Start with the M. He was a leader in environment and social justice. But start with the M. I think Mark would know what I mean. But anyways, he told me, I had a tape I borrowed to them on how nuclear energy is no good. It doesn't work. It's so expensive. They subsidize it, you know, the insurance and everything. And there's a lot of carbon burns that produce nuclear, too. Anyways, he told me that tape I gave got a universal vote with the Republicans and Democrats in the House, but then the money pushes through anyways, over through the vote. The leading Democrat. He overruled the vote somehow, and they shoved it through.
Gary, back in those
commotion, though.
Back in those days, was it? Were you all arguing? Was it more arguing?
I wrote a bunch of letters to the Capitol, and there was a Democrat that was his bill. I wrote a letter to him. I just mentioned that one man, one vote, not a man with $1 million. That was a quote from Tip O'Neill. And I wrote it right to the guy whose bill was. He was a Democrat, he called himself. So the Democrats are guilty, too, a lot of them. But anyways. Yeah,
clearly the thing is that no political party has really lend itself its full voice to supporting
the environment. Okay, Mr. Dame, she was my senator. I lived in Richfield at the time. And she told me when the union endorsed it, it was all over. You couldn't have the unions against it and not stop it because they had all the money. And she was my state senator then. And anyways, it was, but we did get the beginning, some wind power for a token. It was the beginning, and later there were some scientists, you know, I learned a lot about that stuff from that were in the movement. It was really, it was a whole bunch of people. We had the people, they had the money.
Well, I sure hope we still have the people, Gary. Thanks for all your great work, and thanks for always calling.
Yeah, that's what we need, a grassroots to wake up the country. And like that last election in 2018, these women and a lot of these minority Congress people, they really, that Cortez, she's wonderful.
Yep. Well, thanks, Gary. Appreciate the call. It's really something that I think that we all have to be committed to, especially as we start to approach an election cycle here, is that the environment, and at least making it a part of the conversation, Brett, to your comments about 2016, that in the debates it wasn't even raised as a conversation point is really shocking. Hey, and a lot of the wisdom of our callers, tells us a lot here on the show. It's not just, the spokespeople, but the caller. So, Gary, thanks for all your input. And Brett, you have some thoughts, or a caller had some thoughts on a president and vice president from the same state.
Yeah, this is going to blow your mind, too. Remember how we blew each other's mind when we found out that you can run for Congress if you're from the state. You don't have to be from the district, right?
I haven't stopped thinking about it since the day that became available to me.
So originally the caller thought, and I he's slightly right, he thought a president and a vice president couldn't be from the same state.
What?
Now, you can be from the same state, but here's the caveat. Your electors in the Electoral College cannot vote for a president and a vice president from the same state. So, for instance, let's say Walz and Klobuchar were a ticket.
Yeah.
The Minnesota electors could only vote for one of them for president or vice president because, those votes are cast separately. So, in a tight election, that could be really interesting because the Minnesota electors could only vote for one of them. Yes.
What kind of rule is that?
Isn't that goofy?
Of all the rigged rules, what kind of rule is that?
Yeah, it prevents electors in the Electoral College from voting for a president and vice president who are both from their home state. Isn't that weird?
So I guess it's maybe some kind of a provision that keeps electors from just running rogue and only electing their own state members. I mean, that seems like a solution to a problem that just never would exist, right? Like, that's a classic kind of solution in search of a problem.
That would only be an issue, too, like if we had an election that went down to, 272 to 268 in the Electoral College, then it would be an issue.
Well, I guess you're now reminding me that the electors, which is the way we choose to do our presidential elections in this country, like we have to be remembered that we of course don't use a popular vote. That's not how we elect our president or vice president. We use electors, and the electors get to elect anyone they want. Right, the electors can go into their voting in each state based on his population. It's a certain number of electors, which is how you get to 200 needing 270 to win. And those electors can do whatever they want. They can vote for somebody who's not even who the people in their state didn't vote for if they all choose to do so. But we even carry our representative form of democracy through to the people who actually place the votes. This and this gets a little confusing, and you don't want to sort of unmotivate people from voting, because, you know, I think more people voting is better, especially more people voting for progressive candidates. I think it's even better than anything, but more people voting overall is a really great idea. But we have to remember that every vote in the state of Minnesota for president means that the electors then take that under advisement, basically, for who they're going to vote for. And this was a big push in every presidential election, but especially under Trump. The question was, would any of the electors do the right moral thing, by some people's estimations, including mine, that and to not cast their vote to be in correspondence with the popular vote of their state because they believe that Trump had interfered with the election or that he was unfit for office, and they would vote for someone else. They could have done that. So the way our electoral college works, and this is real ammunition for the people who think that we should move away from an electoral college and into a popular vote, where just the person with the most votes across the country is the person who wins the presidential and vice presidential seats. That's not how it goes at all. It goes that you vote for an elector. So we're, I guess, reminded that not only does the president have to have the electors vote for that person, but so does the vice president. And I wonder if there could ever be a case where the vice president didn't get the requisite number of votes, but the president did. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Oh, what if Tim Kaine was Donald Trump's vice president?
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't that have been fascinating? It's all the intrigue that goes into the big drama that is voting for the president and vice president in this country. And we should remember, I just want to say this, I'll say this every time we talk about voting in 2020 for the president. It's a unique position that's unlike any other position in the federal or state systems. So when you go to vote for the president, just know that vote is a little different than every other candidate that you vote for. What the president can do, who the president reports to, the powers that the president has, is different than every other vote. So even if you would say to yourself, normally I wouldn't vote for a Democrat, I'm just encouraging everyone to consider that in 2020, because you can see what happens when you get a demagogue like Donald Trump as the president of the United States. And it seems to me that our country is suffering under the effects of the kind of partisan politics that caused Republicans to just vote the Republican impulse and not for the common good of the country. So give us a call here if you want to chat about any of that, 952-946-6205, and we'll talk to you after the break on AM 950.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio, and you are listening to the 4 o'clock repartee, which kind of like means conversation between people or something. Repartee, something like that.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
I'm Athena Janakis Karras, and my family invites you to join us at It's Greek to Me on the corner of Lake and Lindale. Since purchasing this iconic restaurant 2 years ago, our passion has been building upon the traditional by infusing the menu and space with modern interpretations of classic Greek cuisine. Sourcing fresh, authentic ingredients and recipes cultivated from our Greek heritage, your meal will be quintessentially Greek. Find It's Greek to Me at 626 Westlake Street in Minneapolis or at itsgreektomemn.com.
Tap, taste, and treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
Hello, this is Andrew Yang, Democratic candidate for president, and you're listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hey, we appreciate that from Andrew Yang. Currently, I'm supporting Andrew Yang, partly because he supports the repartee. But I also love his ideas. I love his ideas about a base minimum income. I think it's needs to be part of the conversation, and anything we can do to get that into the conversation set, especially in the Democratic Party, I think is crucial. I'm super glad that the state of Minnesota got a favorable ruling from the appellate court about its $15 minimum wage, but increasing the minimum wage doesn't get us far enough. I think we need a base minimum income in this country. Hey, but I do want to say that not only, at the Blue State Ball, and I'll stop talking about it after this segment. I won't talk about it, further in the week, but I got to meet Uncle Curtis from Native Roots Radio. That was a real honor for me on Saturday. So, I'm glad that people turned out. Next year, if you haven't marked your calendars yet, mark your calendars to join us over at the Blue State Ball. You get to see all the friends, and it was a great night. But Philip in Mendota Heights has some thoughts about the Electoral College. Hey, Philip.
Well, I remember hearing reports during the Electoral College casting that not every Republican cast a vote for a VP. And they poo-pooed anybody who's questioning that because they're elected as a pair. And that isn't really the case.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
So we might have the wrong VP installed already.
I wonder what happens if a vice presidential candidate does not receive the requisite amount of electoral votes by that. I wonder. I mean, I'm sure there's a mechanism for that in the Constitution. But you're saying, Philip, that there was some rumor that some of the Republican electors with their party and represented the state of Minnesota
failed to vote for a vice president candidate.
Wow, but apparently enough of them did that that the vice president.
No, they just ruled that he was VP because they voted for
Trump.
The pair.
How about that?
Which isn't really right.
Well, isn't that
but
interesting?
Nobody did much about it.
Hmm. I'd love to look into that. That seems like the kind of thing that, if you run a radio show, you'd sort of tap into and start harping on for the next 2 years, that maybe the reelection of Mike Pence as vice president, or what I think is going to be more likely, Mike Pence as the nominee for president when Donald Trump is no longer running for office. I think that's what's going to happen, but we can talk about that.
I haven't tried Googling for it,
Well. Let's not let the facts slow us up on this one. I like the idea that we can run this out as a potential crisis in the vice president's office, because some of you will remember that there's this day sometime mid December when the
electorals meet.
Yeah, when they meet and they say, and it was today that the election for president actually happened, that the election on the first Tuesday of November is actually this thing that gives the indication to the electors who then place the actual votes. And in 2016, yep, there was that big sort of, some of us were hanging on, like I know in my own sort of managing my depression about Donald Trump being elected president, I was just holding out for the electors to have come to their right mind. And of course,
part of the belief was that the electorals would keep trash out.
Yeah, well, that's that was the whole idea.
People didn't really want to have like a real commoner working on the farm come up and win.
Yeah, that's the idea for the support of the Electoral College, for the people who advocate for the Electoral College versus the popular vote. And I've actually become someone who's more supportive of the Electoral College than I used to be. And I'll tell you why later, maybe another segment, I can talk about that. But very classically, the reason that people argue for this is they say, well, it keeps a demagogue, it keeps a populist who sort of turns against a group of people from stirring up a a big population in population centers and has to, you have to compete nationally all over the country in every state and not move just some states who might have a real bias against a certain group of people. And the electors are supposed to be that buffer to protect that from happening. That's one of the rationales that it's part of the protection system. But that just hasn't been the way that it has played out in the last number of years. Hey Brett, but you've got some thoughts from Hunter about the president and vice president being from the same state.
Oh, he's kind of blowing my mind here too. He's wondering back in 2000 if that's why Dick Cheney claimed Wyoming as his home state instead of Texas, because with how close that election was, could that have given George Bush a different vice president? And man, how different would have the country been without a Vice President Cheney? Wow.
Yeah, but what? Yeah. Well, maybe Hunter should call, but we don't have time for him because we got Mark from Fridley here in a second. But I think Dick Cheney was a congressman from Wyoming and has his residency in.
Yeah, I thought he was living in Texas though too. But you're right. Maybe the.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, at the time.
Oh, that's interesting. But he had to make it Wyoming so that they wouldn't, so you wouldn't run that risk. That's totally interesting. Hey, Mark, we just got a couple of minutes, but you wanted to talk a bit about climate change.
Well, but now that we're talking about psycho pseudo Christian vice presidents,
even better.
Mike Pence and John Bolton, who's another disturbed individual, talking about committing military force to Venezuela if we don't like the way things are working out. And, geez, guys, what's your plan B? So anybody who's thinking that, this tag team of Trump and Pence are extremely dangerous. But in 1965, LBJ and the United States government and a group of academics proved that they knew about the catastrophic impact of carbon-based fuels would have on the environment. And a guy by the name of James Pierpont Morgan, J.P. Morgan, told Nikola Tesla when Nikola Tesla was trying to explore free, clean energy, that the problem with free energy is that it's free. And so why does everything that needs to be fixed remain permanently broken?
Yeah, it's a great comment. And on both those points, that part of the reason that we don't have clean, free energy is because people don't want it to be free is definitely the driving force in almost all of our energy policy in the last 100 years in this country and, frankly, around the world. And there might be some good arguments for that. I've heard some people make an argument that it was the commitment to fossil fuels that has allowed parts of the world, Africa and the Middle East, to come out of what was, before the late 1900s, a severe and what seemed like it was going to be a 1,000-year poverty struggle, and that the discovery and the infrastructure being built around fossil fuels sort of lifted that whole part of the world. Not totally sure about that, but a lot going on with why things are the way they are. Thanks, Mark. Really appreciate your call. Thanks for listening to the Repartee. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.